Hey, want to preach? Y'all want to preach about something? Y'all want to preach that for him? I ain't got no notes on it, though. But I only got 30 minutes to flow. All right. Well, let's go. Y'all ready? Wasn't this supposed to be Waiting Day main Sunday anyway? Was this one? Yeah, it was supposed to be. All right. So let me do that. All right, let's go. All right, Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Tyler Perry said, why did I get married? We're going to say, why should you get married? In 2022, why should you still get married? And it kind of goes along with the message because it's part of it. You know, we're talking about the difference between us and them. There is a difference between us and them. And y'all, we can't live any kind of way as a Christian. We can't live any kind of way. One of the things that we've seen in both of our churches is an uptick in marriages, KCC and KCOH. A lot of people are getting married. I think Shayla and Dave was the last ones to get married there. And Pat and Cassandra got married. Cassie. It's different in the church. I believe that the church has two locations. Some of y'all heard me talk about this before. The young adults heard me talk about it the other night. There's a church on top of the hill. Top of the mountain, and there's a church at the bottom of the cliff. What is the church on the top of the mountain doing? Church on the top of the mountain is trying to catch people before they fall off the cliff. Now, this is the part that gets uncomfortable in general services. Because in this service, we got people who have been married and divorced. We've got people that got children, never been married, by different men. We've got men in here who have children by other women than their wives. We've got folks that have been in alternative lifestyles. We've got folks that was married, spouse passed away. We got all kind of people in this room. We got virgins in this room. Somebody say amen. We do. We've got people who have had STDs, we have people who got STDs in this room. It's true. And so at some point in preaching, you got to make a decision. We've got people in this room who are still at the top of the mountain. And then we've got our children's church at our other location. They left, still at the top of the mountain. They've got all their life decisions before them. And then we got some of y'all who are at the bottom of the mountain. You've gone through this and that. All right? But the difference between the church and the world, and the church and the world is not on the same team. Can you picture that? The church, can everybody say that? The church and the world are not the same. We shouldn't look the same. We shouldn't be the same. The church and the world is not the same. Everybody say it's not the same. Okay, let me hear. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Houston Texans, they're not on the same team. The Astros and the New York Yankees, not on the same team. Do we get this? Oklahoma State and Oklahoma University, although in the same state, they're not on the same team. Alabama, who spanked Auburn yesterday, and Auburn in the same state, they're not on the same team. Everybody understand me? So the church and the world are not on the same team. And at some point, we shouldn't look like them. And at some point, they shouldn't look like us. And y'all, I'm not worried about the world not wanting to be married. I'm not worried about the world. Their marriage is in the divorce. They want to marry same sex. I'm not worried about that. Because the world and the church should look and be different. Yes?
Yes.
Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Everybody say yes.
Yes.
And the thing that I'm so proud about, and you know, we still got people out on Thanksgiving, but I'm so proud of, y'all saw it. I didn't force anybody to come up here. And even if people were putting on, the culture of our church is that the single women want to be married, and the single men want to be married. Now, how many churches you find that at? No. So there should be a difference between us and them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, we're going to make it into what y'all want to talk about today. All right? Y'all trying to egg me on. Mm-hmm. All right, so look at this. Let's go to, where I told y'all go? See, I told y'all I ain't got no notes, man. Y'all done tripped me out. Let me see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. I said Proverbs 7? I thought I said 1 Corinthians 7. Did I say 1 Corinthians 7? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:17. All right. Let's go over there first. At least I'm going to keep my main scripture, right? And then we're going to go through this. And I got 37 minutes. Y'all know I can't preach long. And I don't know how I'm going to hoop this out, so I'm just going to have to come. You know, when you don't want to preach long, you hoop it out. But I don't know how I'm going to hoop this out. Cause we talking about some heavy stuff. Holy Ghost, go ahead. Help me, Holy Ghost. All right. So we got it on the screen. Where are we at? Okay, hold on. Can y'all keep up with me? Pastor, you ain't keeping up with you. I know. All right, okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians 6:17. No, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The story I told about Karina and Reggie, is that believable?
Yes.
Some people don't believe it in here. They would, don't they? Would. You know, people said that about us before we got married. People at our daddy's church, deacons, you know they've been doing something. Because we've been dating 5 years. It's just how it goes. Black culture is you do it. Yeah. That's it. You doing something? When we got ready to get married, we wanted, you know, hurrying up. And one of my friends went, well, what, is she pregnant? Here's the culture. Because if she'd have been pregnant, we can understand. But if she ain't pregnant, why don't y'all wait? So she don't get pregnant. That's why. Well, praise God, right? I hope it wasn't my mama that said that. If it was, I'm sorry, mama. But that was way back, way back. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. We cannot have the same culture as the world. Do you understand that? Yeah. So, y'all, a good pastor, he's got to preach on top of the mountain. He's got to. Now, make some of y'all at the bottom of the mountain feel bad. I wasn't a virgin, so I feel. Can you repent? Yeah. You know when you repent, it cleanses your conscience?
Yeah, yeah.
Did I used to be like 200 pounds overweight? When people start, when Dr. Rogers wrote his book on how to lose weight, you know I didn't feel bad? Because I repented. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you repent, I'm not still, just because I got a tattoo, every time a preacher talk about, hey, you probably don't need to get no dragons on your, you know, tattooed on your back or something, I don't feel bad. Come on, somebody. Because I repented. And repenting is the change of the
mind.
I changed my mind about it. But the reason why pastors don't preach on the top of the mountain, the reason why young people in churches don't even believe they can get married, nevertheless, notwithstanding, get married and be pure. Get married and be a virgin. Do you know why? Because pastors feel so bad because when he preach it, he preaching to people at the bottom of the cliff who wasn't virgins. But y'all, can we grow up at the bottom of the hill? Somebody say amen. Because I was at the bottom of the hill either. I wasn't no virgin. Somebody say amen. But y'all, forget us. What about the children? What about the next generation? Do we want it to be better for them? Even if you weren't a virgin, don't you want your daughter? Your son? Of course. And this is the problem in the church is that, and I understand in a pastor's heart, and I'm a little more than the pastor, you know. I got something else with it. You know, you got the apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, all of that, right? But just a pure pastor, he's so compassionate to his people. Like, he just love people, and he don't want to hurt people, and you know, just a good shepherd, man. He don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But y'all, at some point, you gotta preach it right. And my thing is, if I've been delivered, if I've repented, then you preaching about people being fat ain't gonna make me feel bad. All it's gonna do is encourage me to keep finishing losing weight on my weight loss challenge. The people that make mad are the people who like, nah, I'm going to keep on eating a gallon of ice cream. I don't care. What do you say? Right. Do you see what I'm saying? So we got to grow up in the church, especially the older generation, so that we can train the younger generation into the right things. Now, I'm going to show you this. I know some people get mad about this stuff, but can I show it to you? All right. Look at Ephesians 5. And so many people have been messed up, y'all. You want to talk about molestation? You want to talk about rape? Hello? Ugh. Incest, all kind of crazy stuff that we've talked about in the Family Secret series, right? Okay. But listen, when you come to Jesus Christ, you get born again, you get redeemed by the blood of Jesus, he actually can purify you. You know, I went through a lot of stuff, childhood and all that, and then on my own volition, teenager, college. But y'all, you know God, the Bible talks about he can purify your conscience, which is what we was going to get to today, but we'll get to it next week. The difference between us and them, we have a conscience and they don't. He can purify you. The Bible says by the sprinkling of the blood, he purifies our conscience. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, right? He'll forgive you and then he'll purify you. See, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to do what? And to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All on the inside of us. So I'm not the same dude I was in college. Matter of fact, I tell my wife all the time, I'm 20 different dudes from that. Dudes laying up trying to figure out if I'm going to have a threesome with these two girls or not. I'm not that dude. And you know, Paul, who killed Christians, his conscience was so cleansed by the blood of Jesus, he said, I have no recollection of anything I did wrong. Do you know Peter denied Jesus? And do you know after his conversion, because Jesus said, when you converted, strengthen the brother, and the blood of Jesus purified his conscience, that 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, he pointed his hand to the Pharisees and said, you have denied the Lord your God. Peter, how are you going to tell somebody you denied somebody? Because he had no conscience. Some of y'all call that hypocrisy. No, I call that preaching. Don't matter what you did. It don't matter if I did it or didn't do it. I confess it. I got forgiven of it. I've gotten cleansed of it. And I can stand here right here, flat foot and preach and tell you, you need to abstain until you get married. Has nothing to do with my experience. I guess Paul couldn't preach about marriage because he wasn't married. Do you know who wrote the most about marriage in the New Testament? Paul. See, this is worldly thinking. This is human wisdom. The Bible calls it sensual wisdom, wisdom of the senses. You can't preach to me unless you done been through it. You know who said, who said the second most about marriage? Jesus. So Jesus and Paul were both unmarried. How do you do that? Because I'm preaching under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Now my wife is a witness. When we were married, had no children, I had one child, they were very little, and I would stand up and preach to people who had teenagers and folks in college and tell them what thus said the Lord, and we always told them the right stuff. And then when we got older, the same stuff that we taught worked on our children. How can he tell me he ain't got no teenagers? It's called the Holy Ghost. Ooh, I know I'm teaching somebody up in here. Ephesians 5:3, it says, but fornication, we don't know what fornication is. Old people used to call it fornification. Put another F in there. It made it sound worse. Don't go over there with that fornication. Fornication and uncleanness or covetousness. Let it not be what? Let it not be what? What? How many times? Once. And y'all, in present day churches, young adults stuff, and they can still claim virginity stuff, but they be getting different OSs. You know, now you get OSs on your phone. But that ain't the OS I'm talking about. You'll get it. They do it like kissing now in high school and college. The OS. Having all these different OSs. But it ain't sex. But in the name of it, it's sex. Fornication. Not once named. Not once named amongst the saints. That's what the Bible said. What does it say? So this is the problem, y'all. And I'm telling you, our sexuality in the church, this is the main thing that mess everybody up. It just do. Oh, man, I've seen it tear ministries up. I've seen it destroy people. I mean, people that just love the pastor and love this and that, and the pastor, because he has no sexual control. I've seen youth pastors messing with the high school girls in the church. And the Bible says it shouldn't be named once. And y'all, this stuff is so destructive. It's so destructive. And it makes people, that's why I don't go to church now. How many times you heard this? It's always some sex mess. Almost every time when you get to the bottom of what happened to the church? Well, don't quote me, but they say it. I don't know if it's true, but they said he. And the Bible said it shouldn't be not once named among us. Now, Paul gave us the solution. 1 Corinthians 7. Now, y'all, that's too judgmental. What did the Bible say? How many times? And how many times is it named among present-day church? Everywhere, it's just understood. People bring their living boyfriend, girlfriend in church, sit up, hugged up in church. You know a certain amount of them girls, especially in the big mega church, certain amount of them teenage girls, they're going to get pregnant. That ain't a surprise. I start saying congratulations. Yeah, my daughter is pregnant. Oh, congratulations. Man, what you think they was going to do? You didn't teach them nothing? Right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7. Why should you be married? Okay. Don't raise your hand, but answer number one, because you have a sexual libido. That means you have a desire to have sex. As pretty and holy looking as everybody in here is, barring some of the upper elderly saints. Some of them are like, I'm done with that. You know, you get to an age, they say. But you can be done with it. Done with the troubles of this old world in that area. But here's how you know if you need to be married as a Christian in 2022. Do you have a sexual libido? That means, do you have any desire down there? As plain as I can put it. And if you do, this is what Paul says. Are y'all ready? Is this good? Unscripted. No notes. Now concerning the things that you wrote me, they were asking about this. Turn the air back on, baby, it's getting hot. That's not in the scripture, that's what I was telling my baby. It is good for a man. This is the reason why some of y'all, it's too strict over here. No, this is what Paul said. It's good for a man to do what? Not to what? Don't even touch her. You get to touching, hand holding, shoulder hugging, side hugging, front hugging. Kissing, just a little peck, a little longer kiss. Then the turn of the head kiss. Oh boy, don't turn that head. Oh Jesus. Start turning that head. And you know why the head's turning? Because the kisses are finna move. Yeah, you turn the head so you can kiss some other places. So he said, it's good for a man not to do what? Don't even touch her. Poor God. Just don't touch her now. Don't do it. Now that's how we, now I'm gonna tell you, that's how me and Dr. Rogers, right now it's CAT guidelines, Kingdom Association of Churches. CAT guideline, for real. If you dating in our churches, that's what we gonna coach you to do. And you know what happens, young ladies? Them brothers get serious and be putting rings on people's fingers and they be hurrying it up. It go fast. Don't it, Tamisa? Yes. Yeah. Ain't nobody touching. You be touching on all that kissing? Hey, I'm good. Because, you know, even if you're not having full-on sex, it's some stuff you can do to just ease the tension. Y'all, children's churches, they gone. The children ain't in here. So what about the children? They're not here. Now, ain't it some stuff you can do? Come on, brothers. Yeah. They're not giving you full-on sex, but you can ease some tension. Hey, you know what that do, girls? It slow it way down. They're not going looking no rings. They're not looking at no rings. They're trying to get you to move another inch. Yeah. Women, are you learning something? That's why you got to stop it. If I be the best kisser he ever kissed, then he's going to stay with me. No. No, that's not what Paul said. He said, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Brother Pat, can I get a witness? Amen. We're kissing the scamp. We all kissing? No kissing. It's a kind of guideline. And they older too now. They know what some kissing is. Somebody say amen. But boy, that stuff moves fast. Women, will you get this? Will you understand this? Don't let no joker move you off of your resolve. See, women think, if I just give him a little bit of what he wants, a little taste, then he's going to want more. So then he's going to put the ring on. No. He might eventually. After you manipulate and connive him and all that. But yo, I'm telling you, when a man boy, when you talking about somebody happy by a ring, no touching. I'm just telling you. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. It's good for the woman that the man not touch the woman. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's good for the man that he not touch the woman. Because it make him get, woof, I can't remember. What I got to do? That's what they asked me in premarital. The men, even before premier. Pastor, what I got to do? Calm down, bro. They be ready to roll. Number two, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, to avoid sexual temptation. Let's go back up to the first one in Amplified. Now, as to the other matters which you wrote, it is good, beneficial, and advantageous for a man not to touch a woman outside of marriage. Right! Save all the touching. But Reggie and Karina are going to give me. I'm just saying, can you imagine that honeymoon? I mean, don't imagine it, but you know what I mean. Another professor, all that bent, pent up. You're talking about explosive. Y'all, that's how honeymoon should be. What's the difference between us and them at a honeymoon? Here's them, waving everybody off, sweeping everybody up at the reception with their kids. Y'all going to honeymoon? Nah, we're going to go in a month when she get off. They go back to the house, the apartment that they've been living in the first place. Y'all, there's no excitement in that. I be feeling sad for people like that. The excitement was the wedding for them. The excitement was the reception. But there should be a difference between us and them. Okay, I ain't going to pick on nobody. Can I talk to Dr. Rogers? Because I was in his wedding. I was the best man. And you know, he do things high class. It was nice, nice venue out there in Raleigh, man. At the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, man. Ooh, it was a nice wedding. Ooh, a lot of bridesmaids and stuff. It was at least seven, right? Seven, eight. More than that. It was a big old wedding party. And then they had a nice little reception. I forget what the reception was. I don't know if it was on church ground. It might have been somewhere else. Nice reception with the music playing, the DJ. And they had all, you know, they had all your stuff laid out, playing out at the reception. You know what I'm talking about? And then the first dance and the first this and the mama dance with the, and then the daddy dance with the daughter and all that. You know all that stuff. Then you throw the garter and then you do this and that and all that. The bouquet. You know, y'all know about this? And they had that stuff planned out. I remember about after the second, third thing, Dr. Rogers said, hey, Pastor Ron, look, we finna make a dash for this car. Y'all know why he was making a dash for the car? Anybody know why? Yeah. Anybody know what the urgency was? That brother was urgent. And he got on the mic. Now, you know, me and Dr. Rogers, we jerks. We don't care. And he got on the mic. He said, y'all, I appreciate everybody coming to the wedding. He said, you can stay at this reception as long as you want. He said, but me and Lady Stephanie, we dated in a very godly way, if you know what I mean. And so we don't need no more hugs. Don't nobody else hug us. He said, don't nobody else hug us? Do you know why? Because at that point, he ready to roll. So he don't need nobody hugging him. Do you see what I'm saying? That brother was ready. And he said, after we cut this cake, he said, we gone. Urgency. Y'all see that commercial with the little white man? First and goal. There you go. I don't know if that was Viagra, Extends, or what that was. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. See, what's going on, women? Y'all don't understand that. That's what drives a man. Yeah. That drives a man. And some of y'all women that get married, you forget that. Don't forget that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Get married and forgot. Hot and heavy all before the day. Ooh, baby, stop, and all that, man. Get married. Stop. You saying the same thing, but it's, you really mean it this time. Just nasty. Just stop. Just always touching and stuff. Golly. I'm not a piece of meat. This is for everybody, married folks too. Now to avoid fornication. Fornication is all sexual sins. Listen, amplify. But because of the temptation to participate in sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. And let each woman have her own husband. So if you wanted to know, am I supposed to be married? I'm not supposed to be married. Okay. First question is, are you tempted sexually? You don't have to answer that. If you have no sexual temptation, man, go on out there and just work for the Lord. Be a missionary, you work 24/7, just work for God, man. We need you. We need you out there. have a tendency to be tempted sexually, there's only one solution. Get married. And the only way you're going to get married, young girl, young guy, you got to stop messing around. Okay, I'm with a dude who's having sex. I'm starting to say, and then, but I think he's the right one. I always ask women the same thing. I say this, okay. If you stop having sex with this dude that you've been having sex with, if you stop having sex with this dude for 8 months, is he going to stop having sex for 8 months? That's all. So he love you, right? So he going to wait on you, right? So you start having sex for 8 months, he not going to have sex for 8 months. Well, I can't say that. Well, then you know he don't love you. So what you doing? Y'all asked for this. Y'all, we got to get this stuff straight. And that other church, you know, it's two kind of churches right now. They're not going to get it. They don't want to get it straight. The pastor don't want to get it straight. I can't even think of it. You know, and me and my son, we've had talks about this, you know, some staff, male staff. Y'all, when a woman come to this church already broken, I can't imagine that any of our men, my son included, because we talk, because, you know, he started being an adult, myself, would take it. They already hurting. And then they come over here and get more hurt. And yes, they do have some fault in the matter, you know, all of that. But y'all, you folks are already jacked up. So to be a pastor, you gotta be straight in this area, especially these days. Because everybody jacked up sexually. You know, we've had women come through. Yo, if I'd have said, let's go, bro, they'd already been. Do you understand that? I know that. That's why I got married. These guys out there pastoring ain't married. What are you doing? To avoid sexual misconduct, immorality. Let each man have his own wife. Let each woman have her own husband. Not each man have his own Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. You can't get married with the ho, ho, ho. The ho, ho, ho not going to marry you. And if she marry you, she can't stay faithful. Let every godly man have his godly wife. So you got to break up with the Santa Claus girls. Come on, somebody. And sister, you got to break up with the Santa Claus dudes. Because there's some ho-ho-hos out there with these dudes. Just sleeping everywhere. Can't control themselves. They're guys that just can't control it. They just can't. They're going to flirt with everybody. All that. Why should you get, very simple. Is that pretty simple? The only reason you should get married is if you have sexual desire. If you got some sexual desire, you need to get married. Talking about going in the rapture and carrying on? Because you know the marriage bed is under fire. Thank you, Jesus. I told my wife, Leslie, I said, girl, you the only woman in this world that can mess me up. I tell him my business. But that's my wife. Thank God ain't a secretary or some assistant or some woman over here or some woman over there. Somebody say amen. Amen. All my sexual secrets with my wife. Amen. That's it, y'all. We hit on the head. Now, there's other things about the only reason you get, pastor said the only reason you get married is sex. That ain't what I said, no. That's some other reason to get married. But I'm saying this how you know if you're supposed to get married. So man, I take it or leave it. Then leave it. Because it's a lot of trouble. I couldn't take it. I couldn't have took it or leave it. Left it now. I had to be married. I had to be. There ain't no way in the world I could be pastor and not be married. No way in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think some women got sobered up when I said that by some women that would. Yeah, of course. We know who they are, who they were. Don't take much. And some women come over here to see if we that kind of, if we doing that like that. They want to see. And we let them know real quick, no ma'am. No ma'am. And then if I don't say it loud enough, then my wife will come in, no ma'am. No ma'am. Woo, jeez. I saw my wife one time, boy. I was on staff at the church. And she was pregnant. And it's like, I don't think she meant no harm. She was a little older. Then she rolled her eyes now. And she said, I was a big brother in the ministry, whatever, whatever. Anyway, so she said that she's short. She laid her head in my chest. Just for a few minutes. A few seconds. Mm-mm. You see how she looks? Now, y'all, this is 15 years ago. This more than 15 years ago, probably. Anyway, so we had a church. It was three floors of that church. My wife, was she pregnant? Walked three flights of steps and said, I want to speak to a minister so-and-so. Come here. What'd you say? The only head that belongs in my husband's chest is mine. And then she walked up.
That's right.
Anybody play? You see her smiling? Well, she don't play no. She don't play. And I don't play either, because been up in a dude laying his head in her chest. And that's what she say. You wouldn't want no man laying his head in my chest, and I got it, Dwayne. I say, you right. That'd be a whole nother situation. That's how we've been together 31 years. That's how ain't nobody ever cheated on nobody. That's how I ain't got no babies outside my marriage. Amen. We don't play, y'all. Amen. That's what marriage is for. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we just thank you right here, right now.